Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Later on in the show, we'll have a review of Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight Rises, the conclusion to his epic Batman trilogy. But right now, on the musical portion of the show, we're going to feature music from the films of actor Christian Bale, Batman himself. But we're going to begin with music from a film he starred in when he was just a little kid, directed by Steven Spielberg. Music, of course, is by John Williams. It's called Empire of the Sun. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
music from Empire of the Sun, written by John Williams. And very fine stuff, I might add. Next up, we have a selection from composer Alan Menken, written for a Disney animated film in which Bale had a voiceover role. This is music from 1995's Pocahontas. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
music from Pocahontas, written by Alan Menken. In 1996, Bale appeared in Jane Campion's ambitious ensemble drama Portrait of a Lady, which featured a score by Wojciech Kilar. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Very impressive music by Wojciech Kilar. More impressive than the film itself, I might say, but very impressive music nonetheless, written for Portrait of a Lady. Bale also had a supporting role in a movie released in 1996, directed by Christopher Hampton, called The Secret Agent, which featured a score by no less than Mr. Philip Glass. Let's take a listen. That's music written for The Secret Agent by composer Philip Glass. Bale tried his hand at Shakespeare in 1999 by appearing as Demetrius in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Let's take a listen to this score by Simon Boswell.
Thank you.
That's music from A Midsummer Night's Dream, written by Simon Boswell. And now, for a rather dramatic change of pace, a selection from David Arnold's score for the remake of Shaft, in which Bale played the villain. Let's take a listen. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're featuring music from the films of actor Christian Bale on the program today. Next up, music from a movie co-starring Bale and Matthew McConaughey, featuring an intense score by Edward Shearmer called Rain of Fire. Let's take a listen. That's music from Reign of Fire, written by Edward Shearmer. Next up, a brief selection from a movie which has gained a bit of a following in the decade or so since its release. This is a piece by Klaus Badelt, written for Equilibrium. Let's take a listen. Music by Klaus Badelt, written for Equilibrium. Christian Bale lost a whole bunch of weight for a movie released in 2004 called The Machinist, which featured a score by Spanish composer Roque Baños. Let's take a listen to that. effectively moody, atmospheric music written for The Machinist. In 2004, Bale did some more voiceover work for a lovely movie directed by Hayao Miyazaki, which featured a score, of course, by Joe Hisaishi. It's called Howl's Moving Castle. Enjoy. Music from Howl's Moving Castle, written by Joe Hisaishi. Next up, we have another score from Klaus Badelt. This one considerably more elegant and considerably better, I think, than the music for Equilibrium we featured earlier. This is his music for Werner Herzog's Rescue Dawn. Let's take a listen. Thank you. music from Rescue Dawn, written by Klaus Badelt. Last, but not least, we have music written by Mr. Hans Zimmer for the movie that we'll be reviewing in just a few short moments, The Dark Knight Rises. This time around, Hans Zimmer working without composer James Newton Howard, but the sound, which he featured in the first two films in that series, basically unchanged. Take a listen and see what you think. Enjoy. big blustery music written for The Dark Knight Rises by composer Hans Zimmer. There were quite a few other scores I wanted to get to on the program today, but alas, we have just an hour and simply didn't have enough time to cover everything. So I tried to emphasize some scores that maybe we wouldn't have a chance to feature quite as often on the program, and I do hope you've enjoyed some of the stuff we've done today. Now time to move along to this week's movie review. After a seemingly endless period of anticipation and speculation, the conclusion to Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy has finally arrived. Does The Dark Knight Rises actually live up to the overwhelming expectations fans of the series had for it? Has Nolan really found a way to top the considerable achievements of The Dark Knight? Honestly, the answer to both questions is no. It's a considerably messier film than either Batman Begins or The Dark Knight, and it lacks both the moving precision of the former and the raw intensity of the latter. However, it's arguably the most ambitious film of the series to date. It gets more right than it gets wrong, and it ultimately serves as an immensely satisfying finish to a series which is now much more easily viewed as a single epic story. The film begins 8 years after the conclusion of The Dark Knight. Bruce Wayne, played by Christian Bale, has become a Howard Hughes-style recluse, and Batman has disappeared completely. Organized crime is down considerably, thanks to stiff new laws which were passed in the wake of Harvey Dent's death. Things are relatively peaceful in Gotham City, and Bruce doesn't feel that Batman is actually needed anymore. However, when a masked thug simply known as Bane, played by Tom Hardy, begins stirring up significant trouble, Bruce finally feels compelled to act. Of course, that's a gross oversimplification of the plot, which takes nearly as long to set up as it does to execute. It's less the story of a hero and villain than a massive ensemble piece in which Batman and Bane happen to be key players. Also involved in varying capacities, which I won't spoil, are Police Commissioner James Gordon, played by Gary Oldman, rookie cop John Blake, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, cat burglar Selina Kyle, played by Anne Hathaway, environmental activist Miranda Tate, played by Marion Cotillard, faithful butler Alfred Pennyworth, played by Michael Caine, scientific genius Lucius Fox, played by Morgan Freeman, and many, many others. In Batman Begins, Bruce Wayne expressed a hope that Batman would become more than a single man, that he would become an idea. That's precisely what's happened in the series. It's a story about the whole of humanity, continuing to develop the sort of large-scale socio-political ideas which played such a significant role in The Dark Knight. It's often said that disaster brings out both the best and worst in humanity, and The Dark Knight Rises explores that notion to potent effect. In a multitude of ways, Nolan explores the notion that ugliness and nobility can easily spring from the same source. All people need is an idea bigger than themselves to push them in the right direction. Bane is ultimately more than just a massively strong brute. He's a physical incarnation of the ugliest sort of populism. You may feel inclined to compare Bane and his massive mobs to the downtrodden of either Occupy Wall Street or the Tea Party, depending on your political inclinations. But the movie is a bit more complicated than that. To be sure, there are certainly a few moments in which one begins to wonder whether the script was hijacked by present-day Frank Miller, but those moments often eventually reveal themselves to be considerably less straightforward than they appear. The film's fundamental conservatism is far closer to the steely complexity of Clint Eastwood than to the hyperbolic absurdity of Glenn Beck. Despite all of its high-minded thematic elements, The Dark Knight Rises still remembers its status as a comic book movie, offering more than a few moments which are likely to resonate considerably more with longtime fans of the character than with average moviegoers. The film's big, lofty moments are often impressive, but it really excels during the smaller, more character-driven scenes. Nolan ensures that every key member of his impressive cast gets a chance to shine during their final adventure, and does a solid job of juggling the many elements he has in play, though whether he should have eliminated some of those elements is certainly a good question. For instance, does Catwoman really need a sidekick in a movie this overstuffed? While there isn't a towering performance on the level of Heath Ledger's work in The Dark Knight, the ensemble is quite good from top to bottom. Christian Bale and Michael Caine are arguably better than they've ever been, with both finding new notes for their familiar characters. Tom Hardy's sing-song voice contrasts chillingly with his imposing physical presence, and he makes the character a force to be reckoned with. Anne Hathaway brings a caustic unreliability to Catwoman, creating a version of the character which is vastly different from Michelle Pfeiffer's great take, but which feels just as valid. Special mention should also be made of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's turn as John Blake, as the actor holds his own with all the other cast members and brings a certain wounded nobility to his scenes, which is immensely effective. There's a distinct sense that The Dark Knight Rises attempts to bite off more than it can chew, but it would be unfair to call it an ambitious failure. It's more of a beautiful mess of a movie, a sprawling, unrestrained grand finale which occasionally trips over itself as it multiplies the scale of the series and brings the characters to a very satisfying finish line. Even more impressively, it effectively unites the three films in a remarkably organic way. While I'd argue that The Dark Knight is the most impressive movie on its own terms, in the end this series adds up to more than the sum of its parts. This one is perhaps the least successful on its own terms, but arguably does the most to enhance the complete story. Despite its occasional missteps, Christopher Nolan's trilogy remains the most satisfying start-to-finish superhero saga released to date, and it's going to take some considerable courage and imagination for anyone to top it. For this movie, as its own thing, I give it a rating of 3.5 stars. I'd give the series as a whole 4 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show, and you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, I hope you have a great week. Back at you later.
Let your number run.